Hello, everyone. This is Jim Conley, Executive Marketing Manager for Anatomy and Physiology here at McGraw-Hill Education. And once again, as you guys like hearing from me, I am just so excited to be here with you guys today, but it's for a specific reason, because we are going to talk about one of my favorite topics in the entire world with one of my favorite people in the entire world, all in the same podcast. That is just amazing. That gets a boom shakalaka for today. So what are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about the Human Anatomy and Physiology Society, which you'll hear me refer to as HAPS. We're going to be talking about the HAPS conference that's happening. It's a national conference that will be going on this May. And with me on the podcast today for the first time is one and only Peter English. He's the executive director for HAPS. He also is a lecturer at the University of Texas Austin. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's exciting to be here.
Awesome. Well, I kind of let the cat out of the bag, but it's probably better if I let you kind of tell the audience, in your own words, what is your current role at HAPS?
So at HAPS, I'm the executive director, so I'm in charge of basically all of the decision-making that happens, and also making sure that whatever the board decides the organization is going to do actually happens. So, and I've been doing that since 2013.
Well, and you're also someone who likes to do a lot of different things, too. So outside of the HAPS role that you have, you also have a teaching position, right?
That's correct. I teach at the University of Texas at Austin. My wife and I returned to Austin in 2006, and that's when I started teaching there. Before 2006, I had a career building and managing ecotourism lodges with indigenous groups in Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, and Brazil. So I used to travel a lot, and now I've got two kids, and I teach at the university, and I'm the executive director of HAPS, and that's been a really good path for me.
Yeah, that's just awesome. I think it's one of the most unique things, you know, that I've learned about you over the last couple of years, along with the fact that we both have a common love, not only for HAPS and all things related to that, but with birds as well, right?
That's correct. I started bird watching when I was in about third grade. I eventually became a birdwatching tour leader internationally. Been to 28 countries leading birdwatching tours. Worked my way through graduate school doing that, and actually got my PhD studying birds in Amazonia and Ecuador. So it's been a big part of my life.
Oh, that's pretty cool. All right, so we should shift gears, I think, right? If we're going to talk about HAPS, there's really one conference that sets itself apart from everything in the world, in the science world, in my opinion, and that is the Human Anatomy and Physiology Society Conference. I know we have a bunch of regional meetings that will happen throughout the year, which we could talk about that maybe later if we have time, but there is a national meeting that you're really in charge of, or you really facilitate, you coordinate, and that's going to be in Columbus, Ohio this year. What are the dates so we can share that with the audience?
Right. So we start with a reception on the evening of Saturday, May 26th. And then Sunday and Monday, the 27th and the 28th, are exhibits at the convention center. And we have exhibitors. We have talks from seven different talks from famous people. And then we shift gears for the last 2 days of the conference and move up to Ohio State for 2 days of workshops given by HAPS members and people who are about to become HAPS members. So it goes from the 26th to the 30th.
Pretty cool. And then in terms of your perspective, you know, of course, aside from anything McGraw-Hill related, which I'm saying that kiddingly, of course, what are some of the highlights that you see of this year's conference?
Well, one of the highlights each year is something that McGraw-Hill has been a sponsor of, and that's the First Timers Breakfast. HAPS is a really friendly organization, and so we have a special breakfast for the people who are coming to their first HAPS conference. And then we stock that breakfast with past presidents, steering committee members, people who are in the HAPS leadership, to really give a good welcome to those first timers and let them learn about HAPS quickly right as the conference begins. But we've got a lot of other things. The exhibitor hall is always a blast. We've got seven seminars this year, three poster sessions for a total of 72 posters. And then as we move on to the workshop section, we've got 127 workshops given over 2 days. So that's, you have to pick and choose to find the ones that are a good fit for you. But most people can find usually about twice as many as they can actually attend. So that's really great. But the main highlight, as always with HAPS, is the people. It's really friendly. The family for the people who are members and for the people who come and join. And it's just great to get together with everybody.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Peter. So even, you know, when you look at the exhibit hall, and, you know, we all know, at least on the exhibitor side, it's a very competitive market. But when I go there just, you know, to speak there, I really enjoy seeing a lot of my friends that work at other companies, and then most certainly any of the attendees that are teaching. You know, it's just really a unique conference and really is a family, like you had mentioned. So I'm glad you pointed that out. Just a lot of fun.
It's not just the members, it's the exhibitors, it's everybody seems to work together to make this a really great learning experience. I'll tell you, my first HAPS conference in 2013 was in Las Vegas, and at the very first exhibitor hall opening, there were lines of people in front of each exhibitor with questions that they had come up with during the year that they wanted to get answered. And so it's a really engaged group, both on the exhibitor side and on the member side, which is just, I've never seen that at any other conference.
Yeah, I haven't either, you know, and I've attended a lot of conferences over the years, but it's really something where I think the way the exhibitors approach it and the way the attendees approach it, it's a really good synergy where they come wanting to learn more, and then all of us on the exhibitor side, you really take that seriously and make sure that we align, you know, what we're offering in terms of our people and all those things are really going to be a good service. So I think the exhibitor hall definitely is a plus. But I want to give a shout-out to you, Peter, and I don't know who came up with the idea, but you mentioned the first-timers breakfast. So if you're listening to this show and you're planning on attending HAPS or you're thinking about attending HAPS and you're maybe not a member, what I'll tell you is that when you go to the first-timers breakfast, it's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. So it is so welcoming. There's literally a ton of people. I think last year we had like close to 250 new first-timers, if I remember correctly. And what Peter and his team did, or someone did on the HAP side, you can maybe color that in, is they made sure that they had a representative, I think it was past board members or past presidents, people that are really in the know about the organization, were stationed at every table to have that breakfast with those first-timers. And to me, that was just awesome.
That's right. We have all current board members, all past presidents who are attending, and in many cases, some of the steering committee members are there. So we have at least one leadership person at every single table to answer questions and facilitate just getting to know HAPS.
Yeah, it's just great. And I know a lot of the first timers that I talked to, they mentioned that not only that was really important, but then one thing that we like to do at McGraw-Hill is we're a welcoming group as well. And we would take a picture of every table. One would be serious that you might want to like send back to your chair or anybody else that would be like, hey, we're actually doing work here. And that would have them do another picture that would be fun, you know, where they could be really silly and kind of let their hair down if they had hair. And most of you who know me know that I do not, but so that they could have some fun with it, and that really kind of accelerated the charm and the mystique of, you know, being a first-timer and really being part of that family for the first time.
Yeah, there was a saying that I heard at my first HAPS conference, which was, first-timers never eat alone. Make sure that every first-timer has somebody to hang out with. Because some of these science conferences, you know, the ones that are really big with 15,000 people, they're an oddly solitary event because there are so many people that most people end up alone, oddly. But HAPS is sort of the opposite. We'll have maybe 600, 700, 800 attendees each year. And that's a manageable size to really get to know each other, and we try to do that.
Yeah, you guys really do, between like the social events and just the way you have the breaks all set up. It's really remarkable. So kudos to you guys on the planning committee and all the board members, anybody who's involved in the conference. You know, it really makes a big difference, not only for us on the exhibitor side, but just for the overall community. It's just awesome.
Well, we're glad to have McGraw-Hill as part of that family.
Appreciate that, Peter. Okay, so now for our listeners, how can they learn more about the conference if this podcast didn't do enough for them?
Right. Well, the way that that people learn about most things these days, which is through our website, which is HAPSWeb, HAPSWEB.org. Or you can just Google HAPS or Human Anatomy and Physiology Society, and we'll pop right up. There's a page there with information. You can register right there. All of the abstract deadlines have passed, but you can also see maybe for future years, that's that same place is where you would propose a workshop or a poster. So it's all in one place.
Cool. Now, for this specific location or for this year's conference, just for you personally, what are you the most excited about for this one?
Well, I'm excited each year for to see a new place. Columbus is really beautiful. I got to visit several years ago when we were in the early planning stages of picking hotels and where we were going to have the exhibit hall and all that. But it's really a beautiful, beautiful town. During the conference, I won't have much time for anything else. But on Thursday after the conference, we're going to have some outings. One is to do some medical training that I will not be taking part of because that's using cadavers. But the outing that I'm excited to do is to the zoo. Because they've got an amazing zoo there, and so we'll take a bunch of house members to head up there. But in general, with all of these conferences, the main thing is the people. That's what I've always heard people say about HAPS. That's been my experience with HAPS. The people are what make this conference. And we go to beautiful places each year and try to move around the country to make it so it's a short trip for somebody each year. But it's always the people that make the conference what it is.
Could not agree more. And speaking of the people, roughly how many people are going to be attending this year?
This year we've got about 550 already, and I think that usually ends up being close to 700 or 750 by the time the conference actually rolls around.
In terms of exhibitors, how many do you guys have coming this year?
It's between 40 and 50. I actually didn't get the latest update, but it seems to be increasing weekly, which is great.
Oh yeah, I would expect both those numbers will go up quite a bit too.
Yeah.
All right, now
yeah,
we
that's
talked
what.
about all the exciting things of this conference. Now I'm going to transfer over to one thing that might be kind of fun for our audience to hear. But what's the biggest challenge when you put on a conference of this size?
The biggest challenge is just keeping everything straight. During the conference, I will walk on a day when we're just in a conference center, I'll walk about 12 to 15 miles. On a day when we're on a community on the university campus, I can walk over 20 miles. And that's just from room to room to room to room to room, checking to make sure that every little detail. You think the conference organization is going to be all about the big picture thing, like getting the hotel or getting the conference center, but those happen years in advance. What really makes the conference special, I think, is when all the little details are worked out for every exhibitor, for every member, for every request that we can take action on. We make sure that every single one of those gets answered. And that's the real challenge for me. Because the bigger the conference, the more details there are, and the more people who have things that they're asking for that could make the conference better for them. And we want to always accommodate those requests.
Oh my goodness. And I'll throw a shout out to you and then also Brittany, who's on your team. A couple of years ago, you probably remember, we had a workshop that we were sponsoring, and a good friend of mine was doing the workshop, and I think there was a little bit back and forth on who was going to submit it. And then, long story short, we got to the conference, and then I realized very late in the game that it was probably me that didn't submit it. I'll just take that as a I dropped the ball on that. And I went over to Peter, and you probably remember Jessica Knabo was with me at the time, and went to Peter, and we're like, oh my gosh, we have a big challenge. And you're like, yeah, no big deal. We can take care of that. And then we kind of got creative about, using the app that you guys have for the conference and really getting a message out. And you guys were so accommodating, to make sure that our customer and person that was doing the workshop was really taken care of. It was so cool.
Well, that's what we try to do. We always try to start with yes and see where it goes.
Yep, and it was great. So I think I added you walked 20 miles on that day. I think because of that one, you probably had 24 in. So
It
I
sure is.
increased it by 20% for you.
Well, I always try to get my steps in, right? So.
Yeah, well, see, that's it. We're just trying to think about your health,
There you go.
keeping you active. All right, well, we mentioned, or you mentioned it earlier, that you're going to have workshops at the end of the week. And I think the workshops are really a unique aspect of HAPS. So I have my own take on this, but I'm curious from your perspective, why do you think they're so valuable to your membership?
Well, one reason I think that they're valuable is because we have 128 of them in 2 days. So the likelihood that you're not going to find 6 to 10 that really interest you is very low. And HAPS has always been a people helping people kind of an organization. And so these workshops are given by members who are struggling with teaching or content ideas and have come up with some new ideas, have tested them, and are just sort of reporting back to the group, hey, this works, that didn't work. Hey, if you haven't taught anatomy in a while, here's something that I think is a great approach. We just have really high level people giving talks about current issues that they're not about the theory of education. They're about how did you teach this cohort of students, the ones that are coming up now, not the ones that came up 5 years ago or 3 years in the future. But how are you modifying, your content in the era of cell phones or online content or now, learning outcomes are a big deal these days, which maybe wasn't the case 20 years ago. So there's a lot of stuff that's being added each day to the field of teaching, and these are current, very current takes on what's happening. And a currency is, I think, one of the reasons that that people find them so useful. It's the thing I'm thinking about today as well.
That's great. And that's a lot of workshops in 2 days. I know from my perspective, Peter, I remember, I like to attend them every year. And one of the challenges is, I don't have the background that someone does who teaches the course, or most certainly an author or anything like that. But the people that put on the workshops, they're really open and let you attend. And I remember the 1 year we were doing a little skit. They were doing teaching cross-bridge cycling through acting in the power stroke and stuff like that. So I'm actually in this group, and they're like, okay, you're the calcium, what are you doing? And I was like, apparently I'm a bad calcium, because right now I'm not exactly sure where I'm supposed to be doing. And everybody just got a big chuckle out of it. And the person that was doing the workshop, she was teaching it, she said, you know what, you're exactly like a lot of my students that get to this point, so here's the way I would handle you if you were one of my students. And she was just so skillful in how she did that, and it was really cool to see.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Some of these talks are just all so good. So I actually go to every single talk because I need to make sure that every instructor, every person who's presenting has the things they need, whether it's an HDMI cable or an adapter or who knows what. So I go to every single room during the conference, during every single talk, and make sure that everybody is set up. And that's how I get my 20 miles.
Oh yeah, it's for sure. 424
Yeah,
plus.
exactly. Yeah.
All right, so now you get to give some advice. So there's some new attendees out there that might be listening to the show. So if they are, what would you tell them going to Columbus? What would your advice be?
My advice would be to stay in public places, public spaces, meet people. There's going to be hapsters at the bar. There's going to be hapsters in the lobby. Meet as many people as you can. Go to all the events. Walk up to a stranger and say hello, because they are wanting to say hello to you too. HAPS is known for being friendly. It's just how the people are. They're, 750 of your favorite teachers all in one space. Go to dinner. If you see people walking to dinner, ask if you can join, because you can. And just get out there and be a part of it. The other thing I would say for new people is to take advantage of some of the year-round things of HAPS that going to the conference gives you eligibility for. We bundle in a year of membership to anyone who registers as a conference as a non-member. That allows you access to all our members-only stuff, the resources we have, a ton of teaching resources on the website. And then also the HAPS discussion group, where people have really high-level discussions about how to teach a certain topic. A lot of times it's content, where maybe three different books have three different words, and somebody's wanting to sort out what's the actual right answer to that question. But take advantage of these year-round things that come with being a first-timer. And then the most important thing is to come back next year. We have a second-timers breakfast, and that's when a lot of people start joining committees, start getting active, and have a pathway to leadership, which can lead to local at your institution credit for being a part of an organization, an international organization like this. When you get to be leadership of an international professional society, that matters in academics, and it could matter to your institution as well.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because really the conference is over Memorial Day weekend, but that's where it should definitely not stop. And when you look at that discussion board, that's one, element to get involved in. But there was a gentleman, I was going to pass this along to you, Peter. I met him last year at the First Timers Breakfast, and you guys were gracious enough to give us, 5 minutes to address the group. And I had mentioned a story about why I got into education, and I was referencing my old English instructor, which unfortunately she's no longer with us, but just an awesome instructor and how she really saved me. Well, this gentleman had remembered the conversation, and he said it kind of lifted him up. Really thinking through like why he teaches and really kind of motivated him, to go back into the fall semester. Well, then interestingly enough, I ran into him in the fall semester, and he was telling me a story about how he had mentored a student to go on to a 4-year institution. And the thing is, just a cool story altogether. And that was a significant enough story, made an impact then on me that we now actually have published that on our website, and it's about mentoring students and how that's really like a second job in a lot of ways when you're teaching at the community college level, especially you have such a big role. But that all started from just a simple exchange at HAPS, and it's a good example of how, these things can extend throughout the year.
It's amazing how these sort of chance encounters at HAPS lead to much bigger things. There's a faculty member who's a HAPS member. I met her because, and I met her in 2013 because there was an accident on the road ahead of the bus that was taking us back to the hotel. And so it took a long time, and we got to chatting. And she was a adjunct faculty, and this is her first HAPS conference. And then over the course of the next several years, she went from being adjunct to then joining the steering committee, well, to join a committee on HAPS, and then eventually becoming a committee chair at HAPS because she was so exciting. And then that led to a little bit more respect from her institution, and she was offered a tenure track position instead of this what adjunct position. And then she's on the steering committee, so she went from an adjunct lecturer at her first HAPS meeting to tenure track faculty, on, in the leadership of an international society. So it's really exciting to watch that happen. But it's HAPS, I think, that lets that happen, right? You don't have to pay your dues or some such thing. You just come and do a good job, and people appreciate you for what you do do.
Oh yeah, for sure. Now with the exhibit hall, what's exciting about the exhibit hall from your perspective?
Oh my God, it's the intensity of the attendees. Like you can just see, after the attendees all sort of go off to the next talk, all the exhibitors who just take a big breath and a drink of water and just look at each other and are like, wow. And then you can see, when that talk's about to end, and you can tell everybody's kind of like shaking out, getting ready to like go for a run practically. And then the attendees just come in and swarm again and ask a million questions and are just all over them. And you hear exhibitors occasionally say, well, I've never heard anyone ask that. I'll have to check. Because it's just such, they're so interested in every little detail. But so it's that intensity. I've never seen it anywhere else. I've never seen it at another conference. It's just that people are so into what they're doing. These are people who love anatomy and physiology. They love teaching it. They love their jobs. They love their students. And they just want to know everything they can about it. And that's what I think is just the exhibit hall is where it all comes together, right? Because you've got exhibitors who love their products, you've got professors who are, desperately trying to find the best possible match for their students. It's a great, the energies are amazing.
Oh yeah, and so I've been going to HAPS for 15 years, thankfully, and I'm kind of immune to it a little bit because I'm just used to that's the way it is. But now, with some of my newer team members coming in and seeing HAPS for the first time, or last year we had some students that we had brought along to us at the booth. To a person, that's the one thing that they said over and over again was how awesome the interaction was and how intense it was. And I know initially, especially for the McGraw-Hill staff members, they were like not expecting it. They were thinking, oh, it's just a conference. People are going to casually come up. But people were really intense and asked such good questions that then they were kind of like geared up for, okay, when's the next break? When's the next break, and when are they coming back in? And the thing that was awesome was you had, I remember a few times, you had people that would visit your booth, three or four times throughout a day or over that 2-day period just to learn more, which is really unbelievable,
Right.
for a
We try to,
conference.
yeah, we try to make sure that there's plenty of time for that because it's, members meet each other while they're at an exhibitor's table. Exhibitors have, make friends with those members and have dinner with them later. We want to make sure there's time for that. We even, I realized that most of the hafters at the end of the day were heading off to get a drink, and so we just brought the bar into the exhibit hall to let that happen, including everybody. So we try to make sure that we have time for that, and it's not rushed or forced, but let it develop. And it does. And it does every year. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, so for scholarship, I know that's a big part of HAPS. What are some of the scholarships you guys have going on right now?
Well, we've got every year we have a bunch of scholarships designed to bring our members to the conferences. And so we have scholarships that are aimed at grad students. We have scholarships that are aimed at people early in their teaching career in the first 5 years. We have scholarships that are aimed at faculty who have less institutional support. And right now, we're focused primarily on what we call contingent faculty because we realized words like adjunct have different definitions in different part of the country. And what we really mean by contingent is faculty who are on half-time appointments, maybe multiple half-time appointments to make ends meet, maybe working at more than one institution to make ends meet, maybe on 6-month contracts or 1-year contracts that have given them a lot of work stability. And a lot of our faculty are in that position, so we want to help them come to the conference. One of the things that happens when you're in that kind of position is you don't have a lot of peers to work with. Like you may be the only person teaching A&P at that community college. And so HAPS really then becomes your peers on a day-to-day basis. And that happens throughout the year through listservs and other communications methods, but that face-to-face once a year really matters, and so we try to make sure that happens. And then we have a couple of exhibitor-sponsored scholarships that are sort of reward-type scholarships. So they're excellence in teaching-type awards where your people at your institution or people who know how you teach nominate you for those. So we have a couple of those as well. And we are in the process, really every year, we try to reevaluate what we think are necessary, what kind of scholarships would be most helpful each year. And a new type of scholarship that we'll probably institute for next year are scholarships for people who have plenty of stability. They're not on short-term contracts or anything, but nevertheless, their institution has no money to help. And in the past, those institutions did have money to help. And now that they don't, with the funding crunch that everybody's under, HAPS is going to try to step into that void and help people, a whole class of people who didn't used to need help getting to the conference, help them get there. So we have a fair number of scholarships. We're always trying to increase that. But we always think of it as Hapsters helping Hapsters since most of the donations come from Haps members.
Boy, that's awesome. And on that same thread, when you look at existing members of HAPS, how would you suggest they could get more involved?
Well, there's always ways to get involved in Haps. We have a bunch of committees doing a bunch of things. And so it's just sort of what you're interested in. The communications committee is really big, and it's constantly trying to get more members to run a site or increase posting numbers and stuff like that. We've got the curriculum and instruction committee, which is constantly looking at new products that we can come out with. They were the group that came out with the learning outcomes, which are now used by pretty much all major publishers, including McGraw-Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And so those are an important part of what we do. We try to support all phases of teaching. So we've got the learning outcomes, we've got exams that are matched to those learning outcomes, we've got courses that will help people get to the minimum number of graduate credit hours required in some parts of the country. In some parts of the country, you need 18 hours, and so we have graduate level courses that can help you get to that. We've got all kinds of different ways to help evaluate your teaching, your students, and then help you get better at whatever it is. We've got just a ton of resources for that. So there, all of those resources are member defined. So as a member, we can always use your help. Whatever your expertise is, we'd like to take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's great. And I know those learning outcomes, it's an interesting aspect of it where, I had a few people last week that I was presenting to, and they were asking about the other ways that you can tag the McGraw-Hill information, and the HAPS tags are in there. And I was going through that, and they said, well, what does that even mean? And so I started explaining what Human Anatomy and Physiology Society was, put a plug in for the conference, and they were just kind of blown away by the fact they had no idea that it even existed. And the fact that we are aligned with that. So it's kind of an interesting byproduct of us, participating in that effort. It has a dual purpose, which I think is
Yeah,
pretty
so we've
cool.
got, yeah, we're really excited about the learning outcomes because we've had the AMP learning outcomes for a long time. We recently came out with anatomy only learning outcomes, and we're in the process of defining our physiology only course learning outcomes. So we'll have sort of all permutations figured out. We've got the anatomy only exam is in beta testing right now, getting validated.
Nice.
Actually, so we're going to have three sets of exams, three sets of learning outcomes, so that if you teach by those learning outcomes, you can have an internationally respected exam at the faculty level or at the student level. You can figure out how you're doing, and we report that by institution type. So it can be really helpful when accreditation time comes around if you can show that an unbiased independent test shows your students working at the same level as the national average and your institution type. So that's been really helpful to a lot of instructors to have that kind of content. So it's just one more way in which we're trying to support our members and the field in general.
Okay, that is awesome. So for the listeners, if you're listening to this, I tried this on the last show, actually second to last show, if you remember back, we Easter egged it. So if you can name, just send me an email, name the learning outcomes. So Peter talked about they have it for 2 semesters in anatomy and physiology. Human anatomy is complete, and then human physiology is coming. So if you just basically drop me an email, the first person that does that, what I'll do is I'll basically give you a $50 gift card that you can use on anything, hopefully to be maybe for beverages when you're at HAPS or whatever. But for first person to do so, drop me a line with those three things. Those are 2 semester AMP, human anatomy, human physiology. Real cool. Peter, just applaud the work that you guys are doing there. And I know you're going to be pressed for time, but do you have maybe 5 minutes for three quick questions?
Okay, let's do it.
Rapid fire so that the audience can get to know you.
Sure.
How about this? If I were to ask you, Peter English, what have you worked on in the last year that you think is significant or exciting? What would it be? And it doesn't have to be HAPS related either.
Well, let's see. For a long time, we've had HAPS members send in teaching tips, and those have been published in PDFs that are hard to access. And so last summer, we got the idea of taking those teaching tips, coding them to all of the learning outcomes that they apply to, and then making that sort of a cross-reference website for all of our members to have. So if they get to learning outcome, 7B, and they don't have any idea how to teach that, there will be hot link to that, a tip from some other HAPS member about the best way to teach that. So coming up with that website was a really big job, but it was really something I think that's helpful for the long term. The other thing
Yeah,
that
that's cool.
so that's one thing that I did. Another thing that I did that was interesting was I work with the Travis Audubon Society. Travis County, Texas is where I live. And the Audubon Society here has a lot of members. And they decided to come up with a master birder program. So they have master naturalist programs around the country, but very few master birder programs. And so I got to be the person to design and deliver that program. So I gave lectures at night to interested future master birders, and they went on to become master birders, which I thought was really kind of cool.
That is awesome. Both of those, really great. All right, so here's a lighter one for you. What is your favorite drink?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask this. I have such a lame answer. It's water.
Yeah!
I know, right?
Okay.
I mean, I just drink it all the time, so that would be my favorite. But, yeah, I know other people have more interesting answers to that question.
That's quite all right. You know, you think about how valuable water is, no problem there. And, you know, with your travels, you've seen in other countries, you know, we take it for granted, right?
Yeah, I know. How often did I not have access to water?
Amen. All right, so one last question. Actually, if you don't mind, too, we'll do a quick. Quick advice, if you're going to give a new lecturer that's coming into UT Austin, what would you give them?
I would tell them to make friends with more experienced faculty, particularly teaching faculty, and get them to come to your lectures and tell you how to do better. I have learned an enormous amount that way, even though it's incredibly nerve-wracking. It's a great way to get better fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, not only, you know, get better in your own department, your own school, but then also networking. And I know you can really speak to that as well. It's a great networking opportunity.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then, you know, you meet their friends, and then pretty soon, you know, half the people around.
Because isn't that how you met Dee Silverthorne?
Yeah, Dee Silverthorne is a well-known author for human physiology, and I was her TA at the University of Texas for 7 years when she was writing the first copy of her book. So I got to see that process, and every once in a while she'd send me off to the library to track down references on some topic she was writing on at the time. But
cool.
So that's, but I actually initially met her in my high school biology class because she for 1 year taught high school biology, and I was lucky that it was that year for me.
Just amazing.
Yeah. So.
Amazing how that all comes full circle.
It does.
All right.
And then she's the one who introduced me to HAPS. So.
Yeah, I was going to say she's one of the past presidents and, you know, really involved in the HAPS organization, which is great. Okay, one last question. What are you currently reading, or what you're going to read next, and why?
Currently reading a book called One More Warbler, which is a biography of a man named Victor Emmanuel, 1M, so he's not the Italy guy. But Victor is a bird watcher who I met in seventh grade, and he became a mentor of mine, and we did hundreds of bird watching tours through Texas and Central and South America. And he had a tour company that he was just starting when I met him. And that has gone to be one of the biggest birdwatching tour companies in the world. And that's who I led birdwatching tours for 25 years. He pioneered the idea that you could do this as a career and get retirement and insurance and all that. And has just become a hero to generations of birders around the world. And so he wrote this biography, and it's just, I know most of the stories in it, but it's great to read it all in one place and sort of relive all those stories. So that's what I'm
reading.
Cool.
I know a lot of folks that are HAPS members are also avid bird watchers, birders, if you will, I should say. One that I know real well is Bob Broyles. He actually authors a workbook for Anatomy and Physiology Revealed. He's a huge birder, and I'm going to have to check with him and see if he's got that One More Warbler. I think that'd be kind of a cool one. If he doesn't, it might be a good gift.
It would be a great gift. So.
Yeah. It's cool. Well, Peter, you've been very generous with your time, and I really appreciate that. On the behalf of all of us at McGraw-Hill, the rest of HAPS, thanks for doing what you do. We're all looking forward to this national conference that's going to happen in May. We're totally stoked about it. Is there anything that you'd like to last say to the audience before we end today?
Well, just thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting McGraw-Hill, and hopefully we'll see you at a HAPS conference soon.
Sounds good. We will see you all at the HAPS conference again, like Peter had mentioned, March 26th through the 30th in Columbus, Ohio. If you need any information on that, feel free to either reach out to Peter or myself. You can reach me at james.connelly@mheducation.com. Peter, once again, thanks for being on the show today, and I hope you have a good rest of your week.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
You bet. You guys have a great day.